What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Sipping Tea with APV. I've got a very special friend of mine here. She is a one-of-a-kind, one of my favorite wedding planners of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest, Miss Gemma Tim from Fairy Tales on a Budget. So here we are, guys. We are at Bridges in San Ramon, and I've got a beautiful guest of mine, a very good friend of mine, Miss Gemma Tim from Fairy Tales on a Budget. How are you, Gemma?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for, what did you say, conning you into this?
Yeah, conning me, honestly.
And getting you in on the podcast.
Right off my flight.
She came straight from the airport, and she came straight to her venue where she's doing a...
wedding rehearsal.
Wedding rehearsal, that's right, here at Bridges in San Ramon. But for those of you that don't know Gemma, and you guys are planning a wedding, or you just are watching this content, I'm going to have her share just a little bit about herself. So, Gemma, if you don't mind sharing, please say a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so I am a full-time wedding planner and coordinator and slash concierge. It's kind of a mouthful, but pretty much what we do is just plan weddings throughout the Bay Area. A lot of people hire us through the Bay and all of California, Hawaii, and Texas.
Yeah, you're popping. I know you do a lot of weddings.
Do a couple, yeah. Pretty fun.
Me and Gemma, we work together for weddings. We've done a handful of them together, so
yeah.
It's always fun working with you. You're very hands-on, and you get the job done.
Yeah.
So I love that about you.
Thanks.
How long have you been in this business, this wedding concierge that you say you are?
I've been doing it for 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, we just celebrated 10 going on 11.
So. Nice.
Pretty crazy.
Nice. I like that. I like that. What got you into, like, how did you get into this whole planning, coordinating, this whole work field? How did you find yourself into this? Did it just kind of fall on your lap, or was there something that you did before?
Yeah, I always say it's literally by the grace of God. I had no idea what I was doing. I pretty much got engaged and was planning my own wedding 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this July. And it was a complete disaster. It was the biggest hot mess of my life. Oh. And I considered myself to be like really organized and detail oriented. And I just kind of blew up in my face. And so I took the trauma from that wedding.
Nice.
And kind of create what I wish someone had done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And just this kind of simple recipe, and just kind of kept repeating it over and over, and really just kind of started with my friends. Because I just wanted them to have a better wedding day than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So it started with the friends. You said you took that trauma and put it into creating your own business.
Yeah.
Right. Was it always called Fairy Tales on a Budget? Did you have another name before?
No, it was always called Fairy Tales on a Budget. However, back then it was super ugly. I had like purple and white as my colors.
As like your theme colors for
your
business?
Yeah, my business cards had like heels on it, and it was just, it wasn't cute.
Well, you had to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we've come a long way, and I'm excited that we are where we are right now. Black and white is my thing. I love black. Everyone knows me. Always wearing black. So.
Yeah, I feel like just being a vendor in like the whole wedding scene, I think all black is kind of like the uniform, huh, for us?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can, like, I want you to provide as much value, maybe a bride's watching this or a potential bride or someone that's planning their wedding. So I was hoping you could provide them with as much value. You've been doing this for over or about a decade now.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, you know, are there any things that you feel like couples are overlooking when they're planning their wedding or when they're looking to, book a wedding planner or a coordinator or a concierge? Is there things that you feel like couples maybe may not be thinking about, which they should be thinking about?
It's a loaded question. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, I find, so I talk on average to about 8 different couples a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you multiply that times 5 days a week, it's quite a few couples. So I'm saying the same thing. Everyone kind of seems to have the same idea coming in of no idea what they're doing. They see what they see online and what their friends have done. And I feel like the biggest thing people don't do is manage their expectations.
Mm.
Like, that's my biggest thing. I think if you start there and people are like, what does that look like? It's really understanding for both of you guys. Yes, you have an idea and visions and pictures or a Pinterest board, but manage your expectations in terms of like, what do you want to happen? Is the biggest goal for you guys to have fun, or does it need to be like super like pretty aesthetic, picture worthy? Because many times those kind of take precedent over having fun. And then
right.
I find that couples only have like 30 minutes at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they spent, I don't know, 80 grand on this wedding. And I'm like, great, you only have 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If you wanted to have fun, that's what we should prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
So I think managing your expectations and then also really kind of understanding like what kind of people you want to take into this journey with you. I see a lot of friendships end.
Mm.
I see a lot of people ask people to be in their bridal parties or a part of their journey. And everyone's excited in the beginning.
Right.
You know, when you're getting engaged, everyone's like, we want to be there for you. We're here to help. And then, you know, couple months down the line, everyone disappears. And I always just say, really, I know that you can love a lot of people and have great relationships. Really think about the people that you want to invest in and really share this time in your life with. Because I know this is going to be a hard statistic to sound, but like I will say, probably a good 30% of friendships end after weddings.
Holy smokes.
If not at the wedding. So it's kind of rough. And it's because people don't realize that they had this really good buddy they used to go to college with, and they were best friends and did everything together and worked out together. And it's just not the same anymore. And that's okay. You could still love them from afar, but they don't need to be in your bridal party. Mm-hmm. Or they may not necessarily need to be in your wedding. They may want to celebrate you from home, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I feel like managing your expectations is the one thing that I wish couples would kind of start with. Before we get into even like the details of like planning and your budget and all of that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you guys heard that. If you're watching this, you're listening to this, manage your expectations before you get deep into wedding planning. It's very important.
Yeah. And invest in premarital counseling.
Premarital counseling.
That's my number one thing. I think it's weird if people are not willing to invest in it. Uh-huh. It tells you a lot about yourself, whether you're religious or not. Premarital counseling just shows you how much, I mean, because wedding planning is kind of the ultimate test of how you're going to start and do in your marriage. Mm. So how you manage stress.
Right.
You know, how you guys come alongside
this.
Each other.
I've
yes. And so premarital counseling kind of just picks out certain things that you're like, whoa, I had no idea you felt that way about this, because there's all these assumptions being made. So anyways.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that. I mean, I think that's great advice. I think that's definitely something people overlook. Nobody really thinks of like, oh, you know what, maybe we should have a premarital counselor or therapy. Yeah. You know, beforehand, because I've heard that before. I'm also in the wedding planning process myself, and everyone's like, this will be a major test to see how you guys do. And I've heard that multiple times. I'm like, oh, we're fine, we're gonna be okay. But you know, just to hear it from you, I mean, you do a lot of weddings, so.
I work with a lot of people, and it really reflects how you work together as a team. Mm. And I often find that that's, again, gonna be either helpful or harmful to how you start and go through your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn a lot, so.
Gotcha. I wanted to ask you another question, kind of leading from that one. What are some kind of common problems you see couples going through when they're in their wedding planning process?
Probably managing their budget.
I'm sure there's a lot.
Yeah, there's definitely still a lot, yeah. I think it's, I'm so sorry. I'm going to say it again, managing expectations of so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Because people assume so many things with wedding planning and then with like your budget.
Mm.
So people kind of walk into this and they say that they want this kind of, they show me pictures of their wedding, of what they want, their dreams, and they're like, this is how much money we have, and I won't even start a project until you verbally and you sign and tell me that you know we're gonna go over that budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need you to know if I'm getting it. I don't want any surprises. I want you to have a good a good experience with me. And not just with people hiring me as their wedding planner, but I wanna have a good experience with you as my client now.
Right.
And so, again, that just kind of sets the tone. So I think managing your budget is a huge thing. A lot of people don't realize how much things cost.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to really just kind of start, all of a sudden you're adding, you're upgrading chairs. And that's like, oh, it's only an extra $1,000. And then you're upgrading the invitations. And then, but I want name cards and escort cards. And then all of a sudden you spent $5,000 on just signage. You know, and so I feel like that's the biggest thing people kind of get lost in, is managing their budget.
Yeah. How do you, just curious, how do you help them? Is there, because I'm a photographer, obviously, I'm clueless on how it all works on your end, but is there like an organization tool that you use, and like how do you like map all that out? Have you created your own
Oh God,
like,
this is going
to
sound terrible. So I'm not as cool as other wedding planners.
Okay.
I learned this off the streets.
Think you're cool.
So the tools are literally, I gauge it.
Okay.
I honestly, it's so weird. A couple will come to me and I just say, show me one picture that represents, or 500, I don't care. If you show me a picture of what you want your wedding to be, or pictures of what you want your wedding to be, an ideal, I can literally sense it. And within like 5 seconds, I can tell you, I can smell it off of the page of how much you're going to spend.
Wow.
It's so easy. And I've always got it right on the dot.
Uh-huh.
And so people, when I look at a picture, like I saw one yesterday and I was like, there is no way you can get anywhere under 80,000.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, our budget's 70,000. And I was like, either we have to plan cut this wedding out, or you have to cut some things.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we're not willing to compromise on certain things. We want to get married sooner, so we'll raise our budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard you say this number a few times, so I want to kind of ask about it. You said 80,000 a few times. Would you say, at least here in the Bay Area, in California, in general, would you say 80,000 is kind of like the sweet spot for having like that 150 to 200 person guest at like a fairly nice venue?
Yes.
Yeah.
I will tell you though, okay, I get, again, I think it all depends, again, on the couple and kind of what you want. But I will say, averagely, my couples mm-hmm. spend about $80,000.
Okay.
I planned a wedding. I know it's going to be hard to believe because I heard, I don't know this for sure because I've never worked with any other wedding planners, mm-hmm. but I've heard that some clients call me and they'll say, I just got off the phone with this wedding planner. They told me there's no way, it's impossible. They won't take me on as a client if I'm not willing to spend X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. I've planned a wedding anywhere from $9,500 is all they had in cash to $200,000.
Wow.
So I know what's available at what range. And now we're in a different world, mm-hmm. obviously, post like COVID and are shut in. And so I feel like everything is definitely skyrocketed.
Right.
It's not the same world we were in right before. So it's really hard. I think everything's really gone up. But yeah, I would say $80,000 is a sweet spot. You could still get away with $50,000. You can get away with $30,000. You just really have to manage your expectations of what you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people are really cool with doing something that's like chill and eating in and out and hanging out or having a taco truck come up and you getting married at City Hall.
Yeah.
Some people want to walk into a grand ballroom and feel like they walked into a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it just all depends.
It all depends on what it is, how you envision your day.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
What's
important to you.
Mm-hmm. What's important to you. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Well, I mean, wow, that's a lot to unload. That's a lot of information.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
That's a lot.
And some couples even tell me like, wait, are you sure? And I'm like, I can feel it based on just talking to you in the first 60 seconds of this conversation
mm-hmm.
that we're going to get later on down the line where you're not, that there's no way you're going to stay under this certain amount. So I'd mm-hmm. rather talk to you about this now
yeah.
and get ahead of it than kind of at the end, you're in debt, taking out loans, and you're starting as a newlywed life, you know, with like bankrupt. And I've heard couples doing that, go bankrupt in their first 2 months of being married.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, it's not always about the money. If you guys want to have fun and be kind of organic, you can do it in a backyard, but I think it's just about, yeah, how you guys want to celebrate that, what it looks like.
I got that. So you do a lot of weddings. I know that you travel all around California from the northern part of California to the southern part of California to do weddings.
Yeah.
I know you said you just flew in from Dallas, or right, Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
So are you planning on like growing your business into other states, or have you already done that?
Yeah, so the original plan, I think I moved officially 5 years ago from the Bay Area to Dallas, and we were hoping to expand. And I just thought couples are not going to pay extra to have me come back to California, so we'll kind of stop the business here in California and do everything in Dallas and kind of figure out where I can go
mm-hmm.
and kind of find a venue or plug in.
Right.
It didn't turn out like that. We, I don't know how, tripled our business. People paid more money just to have me back over. So I found myself here every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I still live here. There's no way that I literally know the Bay Area in and out, and I'm here more than I am in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I got an offer last week to go to Oregon and then one in Vegas.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, so we're very open
yeah.
to kind of wherever people want to bring us, but it's got to be the right client. And I think it's just, I'm at that part in my career where it's got to make sense for both of us. If I know it's like, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean like a money thing. Like if I'm gonna have a good time and you have a great vibe,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm like, that's worth it for me.
Yeah.
Creatively, if this is gonna be a good project, that's worth it.
Yeah.
But if this is gonna be a couple who doesn't really like talking to me, or they don't have fun with each other and they're really quiet and timid, I think that's fine, but maybe I'm not the wedding planner for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of depends. But yes, I like to travel everywhere, wherever people will hire me
yeah.
to go. So I've been asked to go to the Philippines. And I'm like, I'm nervous. I don't want to go.
Why?
I don't know. I've been asked like 3 times.
Is it because like you feel like you're really putting yourself out there like in a different country? Now it's getting a little different. You
I
don't
think,
know the
yeah,
vendors.
Yeah, maybe it's just uncharted territory.
Mm.
I did a wedding in Mexico, and I feel like, so it's not a country thing. I think it's just with Philippines, it's just not knowing the lay of the land. I like to know ins and out of every inch of everything.
Yeah.
Which I think also makes me a good wedding planner because I'm just so paranoid and crazy in that way. I want to know everything about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, me going in there, I'd feel like, oh, I don't know. Maybe be a coordinator, but a planner, I don't know. I don't trust people easily.
Gotcha.
So I'm kind of crazy like that.
I hear you.
My clients trust me to manage their money,
uh-huh.
and that can be a really big responsibility. And so I'm not going to be like, hey, give $10,000 to this person who I just met. and I know nothing about them
yeah.
except for on Yelp. Yeah. So.
Well, I want to say one thing because I heard it when you said it, and I heard it, like, it really stood out to me. I heard it in your voice. You're very humble, okay? And you said, oh, I don't know how I tripled my business. I don't know how. I will tell you why you tripled your business. It's because you're really great at what you do, honestly,
Thanks.
Gemma.
Thanks.
You're really good at what you do. And, you know, me making people feel comfortable, I think that's something that you are really great at, making people feel comfortable. And another thing that I think we kind of have in common with the wedding day is we want our bride, we want our groom, or our bride and bride and groom and groom. We want our couples, end of the day, to show up to their wedding day and not have to think.
Yeah.
We want them to just enjoy it
yeah.
because it may be only 30 minutes or 45 minutes that they actually get to enjoy because all the other times they want to put on kind of a show,
yeah.
right? Or I hate to say put on a show, but, you know, they want to entertain their guests and they yeah. want to show how much they love each other by having this big grand wedding,
yeah.
right? So.
But thank you.
Yeah.
You were saying that. You're so sweet.
Come on, Gemma. You're amazing. You know
yeah.
that. You're so
I don't know if I know that.
You're too humble.
I'm trying to learn.
I think we're also always, I said this in a podcast before, I feel like us in this field, you know, being vendors, we're like, and just, I think our personalities, like, we're always our hardest critique, so.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear somebody say how well you're doing, so. You're doing
yeah.
great. And
thanks.
Keep doing it.
You too, friend.
I'm not surprised that you are tripling your business at all.
Yeah, I think people are crazy.
I wanted to ask you another question, kind of about, you know, I know we're talking about things that you don't like and, you know, things that we dislike seeing on wedding days, but I feel like this is really providing a lot of value to the couples
yeah.
that are watching this or people that may be watching this that are possibly planning their wedding. What are some pet peeves or some things that you see? If you don't mind sharing, what are some like pet peeves or things that
we got enough time.
See on a wedding day? Just a couple, maybe the main ones that stand out to you.
I'll do a couple. And it's hard. So when I share these, I've been asked these on my Instagram stories. I always get afraid because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's taste is different. And I think sometimes for me, when I show up to a wedding, a couple things I look for. One, fun fact, I can't actually attend a wedding as a guest.
Mm.
It really sucks and it's really hard because I constantly notice everything.
Uh-huh.
But I would say probably
You're watching everybody.
Yeah, I'm watching everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, that pile of programs should have been put out. What's going on over there? No one's greeting anybody. I'm like, it's ridiculous. But my biggest pet peeves are probably going to be signage. Like, my biggest thing is that when I can just tell from like 10 miles away that, and again, it's fine if you buy a file and you print welcome to, you know, so-and-so's wedding, but it's hard when it doesn't match.
Mm.
So it's not cohesive. So you could tell that somebody got something from like Hobby Lobby
mm-hmm.
and it's not personalized.
Got it.
I think that's what's hard for me. Anything that's not personalized.
Uh-huh.
This is your wedding. And some people don't care about details like that, but I want to feel like I'm a part of your wedding, not just going to another wedding
mm-hmm.
of some random person that I don't know. I want to feel like we're a part of the moment, that we get to reflect on your relationship and get to celebrate that. Sometimes I'll just see like welcome, and mm-hmm. it doesn't say like welcome and then their names.
Right.
Or, you know, the programs look like they were made at somebody who has been at church for like 90 years, traditional like church. It's just
yeah.
crazy. Old font and then writing, which is, again, great to have a church program, but it's just if everything could match. Sometimes then I'll see like escort cards that were like maybe like somebody folded together and then printed out or had their sister write with like a gel pen, and I'm like, I think that's really great and mindful. However, the look that you're trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
you're not pulling it off. And everyone's like, oh, well, it's because it's money. I'm telling you right now, you can do great things with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, for $5, I always tell everyone, on Etsy, you could buy a file and literally have all of this match.
Right.
And it's like, you didn't need to do that and cut corners. I think people go around cutting corners the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's pet peeve. Another pet peeve, it's hard to say, when someone doesn't have it organized.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You don't gotta hire me. I always say, you don't have to hire me. I'm not the coordinator for everybody. But when you don't have a coordinator, it looks so messy.
Mm-hmm.
Guests are just like, what's happening?
What's
someone's yelling over there. Are we supposed to go in for dinner? Oh, the couple's coming. Do we clap? Like, nobody can hear anything.
Right.
Nobody knows what's going on, and it just looks so messy. And so I feel like having somebody who's in charge, obviously, who can help communicate to all the vendors
mm-hmm.
of what's going on, communicate to the couple, because most of the time, the couple just needs to be told what to do and where they're going. Because they just, you know, they're trying to live in the moment, and they don't know what happens next sometimes, but... yeah, I think those are my two biggest pet peeves, but a couple other things, you know, certain candles. I have nightmares. Oh, okay, I'm so sorry. Actually, this is probably my top one. I have this reoccurring nightmare. I know this is the weirdest thing, but I will wake up in a sweat, weirdest thing ever, because I will be in a ballroom and I hear music cut, like in a program,
uh-huh.
and then like static, and then somebody fumbling the microphone.
Oh, God.
And it's like the most awkward. Like, you are in charge of ambiance. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I feel like I have to kind of control that. Like, your wedding's got to be like a movie to me. I want mm-hmm. everything to flow so nicely.
Yes.
And naturally, which is, it's okay if there's mistakes. You're human. But I feel like sometimes when certain professionals are in charge or they mess up, again, we're not perfect, but when the ambiance is off and like you hear the music cut and we're like, what's going on with the music or what's happening next? And it's just silent. Mm-hmm. Kills me.
Yeah.
Especially at a ceremony. If I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, I literally get secondhand embarrassment. I'm like, hide. I just want to hide. Please tell me what's going on.
So, I think the DJs call that, they call that dead air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's never a good sound at a wedding. Even like I have like a little bit of a DJ background. You know, growing up, I was part of my dad had a DJ business, so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's kind of how I got my start. So my dad had like a mobile DJ business when he was younger. And then once he had children, my older brother, me and my younger sister, he pretty much like would come to our school and like recruit like our friends and
that's
create like a
dope.
New group like with each of his children. So, yeah, I had like a background in DJing. And I feel like a lot of that kind of transitioned over into like my photography because in like eighth grade, I'm like DJing like a junior prom, like in City Hall.
Yeah, that's freaking cool.
So like having that confidence and like that courage to just like take control and just be like, I'm gonna play this song, hopefully they dance. Like having that courage, like in terms of like, I'm gonna take this picture because I know it's gonna be fire. Like I think it really transitioned over nicely into photography.
Yeah, it did, that's cool.
Yeah, okay, pet peeves, huh? That's a handful of pet peeves. I might have to send that out like in an email to all my friends.
I was like, yikes. I was like, that was a lot.
Yeah, I think having a planner, coordinator, at least the day of, I think it definitely helps move things a little bit smoothly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, pet peeves. That's hilarious.
Are you going to share some of yours?
I mean, I think you kind of hit them all for me. I think you hit them all.
I always think nobody notices things like I do. I'm like, that probably doesn't even bother anybody, but I'm like, oh, it bothered me.
No, I mean, there are things like that too. When I attend weddings, I feel like I'm also that guy that can't like sit still, especially being a photographer. I'm like, sometimes in my head, I'll be like, where's the photographer? Like, he should be taking this picture. Like,
right?
You know,
like,
where's
this is
he
a great
at?
Shot right here.
Yeah, like this is a great shot. But then I think, you know, I try to think about it like, okay, if I was a photographer, it's like, there's obviously something more important that he could be photographing. Maybe he's with the bride and groom or with the couple, right?
So. Yeah.
That's something that I constantly think about that when I'm at events and I'm not working. I'm just like, can't sit still, you know? It's just built into me.
Yeah.
What are some things with your job that you think are hard? Like, obviously, I know that you mentioned, like, some of your pet peeves, but what are some things about your job that make it really difficult and, like, you know, keep going forward, I guess?
Make it difficult to run this business or
being
a wedding planner?
No, I would say like the toughest part about like running your business. Like, what would you say would be?
Managing people's emotions. So it's obviously
You're like a therapist in itself too.
Yeah. I often find, I don't know if you know this, but I was a youth counselor for 9 years.
Okay.
And so I just really feel like, and maybe it's just my own because I'm a mental health advocate. I feel like I use a lot of that when it comes to wedding planning and managing people because everyone has just this like heightened sense of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then you get, you know, kind of the either the moms or the sisters or best friends who are like, this is also my wedding. Mm-hmm. I'm also in charge. And so you're trying to make sure that you're like helping them and you want them to have a good experience too because you're the wedding planner and you want them to make their best friend happy and no one to be stressed out. But there's a lot of drama, I feel like. And so when it comes to like taking pictures, our family dynamics, or who needs to sit next to. So I think it's just probably the hardest part is managing people's emotions because as much as I like to say it doesn't affect me, I internalize that. And I, you know, again, it's my job to keep the show going.
Yes.
And so I want to make sure that if somebody is cussing somebody out in the corner that, you know, nobody's bringing attention to it. Uh-huh. Let's resolve it and let's kind of move on. This is not the time or place. And it can be hard because obviously humans are unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going to have a different feeling about things, but I think that's the biggest thing is that, like, I love to do my job. I love to help, but many times everyone else thinks they're also in charge, and it can be, and I always tell my couples, like, I told a couple, which I'm not saying this is the right thing today, but I'm a little obnoxious. I'm like, I should just give you your money back.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to have these two people running the whole entire show, like, why would you pay for me? Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, save yourself money.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a purpose of being here.
Right.
And they're like, no, but, like, we really want you to help. I was like, no, I really think, like, you know, like, I had an aunt the other day who told me, on video chat in a meeting with her niece that whatever she says goes. And she says, I want you to know that I'm going to be telling you how to do your job the whole day. My response was, how exciting.
Yeah.
And,
be
you
professional.
Know, again, well, I'm, you know, and I'm not trying to, again, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I also want to help the aunt have a good day, too. It's just, it can be hard and abrasive when people come at you very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always trying to make things lighter.
Yes.
And so people can feel more comfortable. And so I feel like that's the hardest part of.
Managing emotions.
Managing emotions. It's weird. Logistics, everything else, I can do to my sleep. But I think managing emotions, if I have I have a lot of times where a groom, more times than often, choose to step out because it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my couples are introverted or they're just not used to being on camera. And it's kind of like being a celebrity for a day, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's in your face. Everyone wants a camera picture with you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to Snapchat with you. And so I feel like a lot of my grooms will be like, hey, I had a groom who told me, like, I just need 30 minutes by myself, Gemma.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for sure. And so, you know, we push back the wedding. That's easy to do. I can move things around. But he was having a whole breakdown because he was like, I'm tired. I just want to go home.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you're like, this is your wedding day. You
like,
just spent $80,000.
Yeah. And I'm like, I know you're burnt out. But remember, these are memories that you're going to love and you're going to want.
Mm-hmm.
Spend a little bit more time kind of getting yourself together. Take a couple breathers. We prayed a little bit and then came back out. And so, yeah, it can be hard because everyone's unpredictable, but I do what I can. And I feel like I'm really good at it. So.
Yeah, managing emotions, huh? I like that. Let's see. So we're talking about a lot of, I wouldn't say negative stuff, but stuff that people kind of overlook and things that people aren't really thinking about when they're planning their wedding. How do you, you know, that's a lot to take on and to share with people and, like, to, you know, encourage them that, you know, this is one big day, like, let's just enjoy it.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you do or how do you... stay motivated and like wanting to continue doing this and to continue to encourage your couple to enjoy themselves.
Okay. Well, I feel like this is not going to be the answer you expect.
But I feel
like where this kind of roots from is like my faith.
Okay.
And kind of my belief in God and the way that I kind of try to center myself and approach everything is being a servant. So our mission statement is having a servant heart. And so I want to make sure that in order for my couple to be able to have a good day or be able to even get to those places, I have to be able to like center my team and not just be excited, but also remember that everyone is going to be on high emotions, high alerts. And so we're doing everything we can to be able to be as helpful as possible so that they enjoy their day. And so I try to do a lot of things like being intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a couple who like really love Chick-fil-A, and so we had Chick-fil-A ready for them.
Nice.
As soon as like they were out of their wedding, they were so shocked.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a 1 hour drive to their venue into the city, and they were to the
reception.
They
had no idea.
No, they had no idea.
Nice.
And
look at
yeah, so we had it ordered and delivered to them. But I also do that with my team.
Mm-hmm.
So we had food delivered for my team, boba. We like to just try to make everyone's day like, because you know everyone's gonna be like hangry. You know, it's not good to starve yourself. And so when they feel good and you know do good, then my work looks good. And so
I
feel like we try to do those kind of things. I feel like I completely didn't even answer that question
correctly. No, you did good. You did good.
Okay. I was like, wait, was that even the question you asked me?
No, that was good. I mean, you know, with the amount of weddings that we've done together, I've kind of seen how you work and you do a really great job, like I mentioned earlier. But I did want to touch on like you said a prayer, like, you know, you guys did a prayer together. And I know that you like to do one like in also the bridal suite with like all the bride and the bridesmaids. So can you like touch on that a little bit? I know that you said like you're really into like your faith and stuff like that. So did you like, how did you come up with that idea? Were you just having a day at a wedding where you were just like, I need a minute to pray. And you're like, let's just get everybody involved. Like, how did you come up with that idea? Because it's very unique.
It's very controversial. I will tell you, I've been told quite a few times not to ever mention God or my faith.
Sure.
Because it can be really difficult and the climate of where we live. I mean, even 10 years ago, I had a mentor kind of teaching me about business. And he was like, I'm telling you right now, Gemma, you won't make it past the next block if you talk about God. So that can be a hard thing. And so I like to tell everyone, it's just my belief in God. My life has been really hard. And I feel like God has really been my hope in a lot of the darkness that I've experienced to get to where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people had heard my past and kind of how I was raised, you'd be pretty surprised that I'm as optimistic or as kind of motivated as I am still, because that was definitely not going to be my story. And so I feel like, you know, my faith in God really brought me out of a lot of hard places. And so it kind of naturally is spilling over into everything else. And so I've never asked anybody if we can pray with them, mm-hmm. the biggest thing is we always say that when they are hiring us, I'll say like, hey, we like to incorporate prayer. I want to let you guys know that we're a faith-based business. Mm. It doesn't mean you have to be religious in any way.
Sure.
If you do want to incorporate prayer, let us know. If not, totally fine. And so we have people who just ask us.
I love that.
And so, yeah. And so that's when I would get constantly surprised. I'm like, wow, people really. And then I can't even tell you, I've had people who will like get on the first 2 minutes of me on a consultation who want to hire me. And they're like, oh my God, you're the wedding planner that prays.
So I'm you're
like,
her now.
Yeah. I'm like, I guess. But yeah, I just feel like it just really calms everybody and reminds everyone of why we're there.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're not there. And it turns, I feel like many times often, weddings turn into a show, but really it's supposed to be a celebration to mm-hmm. you as a couple, but a testimony to like what God's doing in your life
mm-hmm.
And about focusing on marriage in this new season of your life, not necessarily on, hey, let's go into as much as debt to please our relatives who I've never seen maybe like once every 5 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like it always turns into people trying to impress other people with, you know, stuff they don't own, with money they don't have.
Mm.
And we just lose sight so easily. And it's just kind of bringing everyone back together. Like, hey guys, like, this is because you guys love each other. And let's just like take a deep breath and remember that things are gonna go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna have a great day because we're gonna have like a great attitude and great heart about it. We're gonna find joy. So.
I love that. Yeah. I feel like it really does, because I've been in that room with you. I've taken those pictures before. And I've seen how chaotic it can be in the bridal suite or in the prep part of the day, especially when there's a room packed full of parents and bridesmaids and groomsmen. Like, I can see how chaotic it gets.
Yeah.
So when you take that second before we go do our first look or before we head to the ceremony and you get everybody together, all huddled up, holding hands, linked arms, like, I really enjoy that moment. I mean, obviously, I'm just taking the pictures, but yeah. I do feel like I'm a part of that moment. Sometimes I'll close my eyes and get in there a little bit after I take a couple pictures. But I think it really does kind of calm the nerves a bit. And I think that's just it's a great touch. You're the coordinator. She's the coordinator that prays.
Yeah, that's me.
And does a great job. I kind of want to bring it back to not necessarily the negative things, but, you know, you're such a successful businesswoman. Honestly, you are. And your business, like, people know you. Like, you're well known in these streets. So one thing I wanted to ask was, you know, what is one of your, I guess, not necessarily downfalls, but what's something that you see that you might have failed at before, and how did you handle that? How did you overcome that? Because, you know, everything that you said so far, you're really good at taking bad cards that you've been dealt and making the best out of it.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you have encountered or things that you might have think that you failed at, and how did you turn those around?
Oh, God.
As much as you want to share.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, okay, so to be really honest, I like to tell everyone, because I always like, how did you build your business? I'm like, if I could build my business, anyone could. I'm telling you, anyone on earth.
Right.
Because, like,
same with
it's
me.
Just, yeah, I just feel like it's just, I started this as a dream and a hope and a solution to care for others, and then it turned into a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of how it's gotten to where it is. But I feel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you really got to approach this, I mean, anything in life, with a heart of humility,
mm-hmm.
and you're always going to fail. And I think being open to that and understanding and allowing people to speak into that really grows you. And a lot of people say they're open to people speaking to that, but they're not. And, you know, I am my own harsh critic, but I have a lot of mentors in my life, spiritual
mm-hmm.
mentors, I have business mentors. I probably have like 5 in total. And they'll tell me like, hey, Gemma, this is where you're messing up. Or,
mm-hmm.
hey, I'd like to ask you about this. Or, hey, I'm concerned about this. And I really listen to that. I really value what people have to say. And not because I think that they're better than me or more successful. It's just that I value who they are as a person. And I want to emanate that grace and that love and that kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you can do that with kindness, it's great. So, yeah, I failed at, oh, God, one of the biggest weddings of my career.
Oh, man.
I feel like it was tough. The biggest thing that happened, it was that I didn't manage logistics properly.
Okay.
I tried to be more than just me as a vendor.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to take on a catering role,
yes.
and cleaning role and setting up crew and barkeep, and that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes my great attitude and my energy gets me to a point where I believe I could literally do anything,
mm-hmm.
and I just crashed and burned. And I just remember thinking, looking back, like, I mean, I had nightmares for like, I'm not gonna lie, for like years after that wedding. And I just think one of those things I did was I wrote down everything that I felt like I did wrong and could have worked on, and kind of solutions for that. and then kind of took that, and someone who was also there at that wedding asked them to write down to see if they matched,
okay,
because I wanted to see if I was either making these things up in my head, because sometimes, again, you overanalyze things over and
of
over.
Course,
I want to see if other people are seeing the same thing too, and then kind of coming together with my team and just being like, hey guys, how could we have done this better?
Mm-hmm.
Where did I fail at? Mm-hmm. And really taking that ownership.
Yeah.
Because I got that feedback of like, hey, like we shouldn't have been trying to be caterer. And I mean, perfectly valid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just me thinking, you know, and I have something called people pleaser syndrome.
Me too.
yeah, it's probably why we're so good at what we do. And so, yeah, I think being a people pleaser, I've been trying to work on that, but manifest in different ways. And I just kind of convinced myself that I could do things that I couldn't or shouldn't have been doing. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, I think that was one thing that I failed at, I kind of learned, but I always fail. Like, I feel like you just got to kind of be open. I could have said something a certain way or better, or could have handled something better. And every day I ask God, I'm like, please just reveal and show me what I can do. To show a heart of love and grace to other people, even if I have an attitude or even mm-hmm. if I'm mean, let people see that I'm also really human, you know, and grow from that. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's, you hit it right on there. I think holding yourself accountable, trying not to spread yourself out too thin.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you hit it on the head there. Yeah, that was great. I mean, you said exactly how you kind of fixed that and how you handled that situation. I'm not surprised, you know, you taking the cards you were dealt and making the best of it again. So, not surprised.
Yeah.
You're amazing at that. Let's see. What do I want to ask you here? Oh, I know. We're here in the Bay Area, kind of the melting pot for weddings. There's a lot of weddings happening everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wedding planners out there, maybe not as great as you, but there are a lot of them out there.
Yep, there's a lot of them.
Fairy tales on a budget. Tell me, how do you separate yourself from the pack? I know that, you know, you mentioned a couple of things that already separate you, but would you say there's the main thing that you kind of tell your couples when you meet them, like, hey, this is what makes us different from so-and-so or from these other companies?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, I often get that from a lot of people, like, what would you say makes you different? But I find that, so one thing I do kind of require is I require anybody who wants to inquire with me, I never send over a price sheet, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's crazy because I get a ton of inquiries.
Uh-huh.
So for me to make the time to meet with every person, you have to be willing to meet with me face-to-face or on the phone.
Right.
Because I want you to gauge my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a really sarcastic person sometimes and kind of crazy and super overdramatic. And I just kind of want people to kind of understand what they're getting into and investing in.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personality. And so I feel like they get that. They mm-hmm. see the difference in that just from our consultation.
Got it.
I've had people say, you know, I just talked to two wedding planners. And oh my gosh, you just seem so like down to earth, or you just seem so like approachable. And I'm like, that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell them, like, if you don't feel comfortable talking to me on the phone, you will not feel comfortable coming up to me on your wedding day and ask me something. And I want you to tell me, do you hate this or do you love this? It's not going to hurt me. This is your wedding. I'm not going to take this personally. I just need to know what works so we can move forward.
Right.
And so I feel like I just really try to be as approachable as possible and as open-minded. And again, I think the way that you talk to people is not just investing in their wedding, but really I'm hoping to build friendships with my clients that are lifelong. I've had, you know, clients who, you know, got married 8 years ago and now in their third kid and their second house, and they send me updates and I send them Christmas cards. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they still value that relationship. And so I like to think that being intentional really sets me apart.
Yeah.
Really investing in people and trying to create those relationships. And again, I have never, I know this is going to sound weird, but I've never actually met another wedding planner before in person in the Bay Area. I've heard so many things about people, great things.
Yeah.
I see their, you know, Instagrams and websites that I think are amazing and great reputations. I've never actually interacted or
mm-hmm.
met or talked to, which I would love to. I'm so curious about what it's like,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately with my schedule, I don't have the time to be able to kind of invest in those kind of things. Where it would bring me in a place where I would be with networking other wedding planners.
Right.
So I don't really know hugely, you know, about what they offer because I can't really speak on that. I just feel like maybe just being true to myself and people kind of see that and want to buy in and invest into that. So,
I mean, I don't think you really need to do those kind of events. You're already so popular.
Yeah.
I mean, the name is already so catchy as it is, like fairy
yeah.
tales on a budget. Who doesn't want a fairy tale on a budget?
You know what? Let me tell you. When I first started this company and I wanted to name it that, oh my God, I got horrible, horrible feedback from friends. People are just like, that is so ghetto. don't name your business that. That's so gross. And now everyone's like, that's so cute.
They're like, oh my God, I can't believe you thought of that. That's
I'm
so creative.
I sat in self-doubt and insecurity for years. And now everyone's like, that is such a cute name. How did you come up with that? I'm like,
with your purple business cards.
Right, with my purple business cards. But yeah, Fairy Tales on a Budget was just, it was just born out of a phrase I used to use to plan my friend's wedding. It was one of the first weddings I planned outside of myself and or my own. And I used to just always say this phrase, I'm planning a fairy tale on a budget, because we had a limited funds and she wanted to make this come true, and kind of just stuck. So
I love that.
Yeah.
So you said like your team, you've mentioned your team over and over, and like I'm curious, like, is it something that you always wanted to do? Did you think you would just be a one-woman show the whole time?
Oh God.
Like, in order to like scale, I know that, you know, you got to be in multiple places at once. So, you know, when did you know that you hit that point when you were like, I can't do this alone, I need help?
Oh my gosh.
10 years ago.
Yeah. First wedding
when you
I
first
did.
Started.
Okay, the crazy thing is that in terms of planning and thinking about expanding, I never thought about any of that. I never even thought this was going to be a business. Like, I remember the very first time I had someone assisting me at a wedding. It was a friend of a friend, and she was like, hey, I heard you're helping out with someone's wedding. If you need help, let me know. And she was helping, and then she officially became my assistant because I started getting hired to do other weddings.
You were like, hey, let's work together.
Yeah. I was like, you want to help me on weddings on your, you know, days off? And she was like, yeah. And so I think the crazy thing is that, like, for the first 3 years, I kept saying, like, we're not going to be doing this next year.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just didn't see that it was actually possible that people would hire me to do this as a real job. I don't know if it's being Filipino or being in the Asian community, but like wedding planner, event planner, that's not a serious kind of role.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like I was bred and born and taught to either be a nurse or in the medical field. And you know, it's like that's, you know, that
traditional
and,
Filipino role.
Exactly. I'm like the black sheep. It's like that or finance. And so I think at the end of the day, I was sitting here like,
finance.
I didn't actually think I was going to make it this far. And so I think slowly, there was just naturally, like, I would be at a party and a friend's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I've always wanted to do wedding planning. Can I help you on one? And I'm like, sure. Do you want to help on this? You know, next month I have this wedding.
Yeah. You're like, give me your number.
Yeah. And like, honestly, I didn't know how to train people. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was never trained. I've never been to a seminar. I never did a class, never took a course. Let me tell you, those things probably would have been beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, again, just kept evolving and growing based on what I was learning until it turned into this team, until I realized, like, I don't know, maybe if it was, I think it was maybe right before 2019 is probably it, when I started booking multiple weddings on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what if something happens to me?
Yeah.
And as a planner, we always want to have a backup to our backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe other planners are like this, but I feel like I'm more paranoid than the average planner. Like, I know this doesn't sound crazy, but in our team, like, kind of like protocol, we have a protocol if somebody dies on our team.
Jesus.
So yeah, so like if I don't show up, we have to have someone come seamlessly into my position, know what's happening, and take it over without it being pure chaos.
Gotcha.
And so I just kept thinking, what if I get a car accident on the way to a wedding?
Mm-hmm.
What if something happens to me? And so I was like, I want to find somebody who can be permanently able to take that role. And then what if something happens to her? I need an assistant. In order to do my job well, I have to have someone helping me. So then we just started realizing that there are people along the way that could help, and kind of collected this really great group of personalities. And I just feel like this is the best kind of group where it's at. And I've been told that I'm the only wedding planner that, you know, turns up to a wedding with a squad.
Mm-hmm.
But I love my girls, my Team Fab girls. I wouldn't be where I am without them. And they're everything. So, yeah, I think
you said it right there. That was my segue into my next question. You said Team Fab. So I've always wondered. I always thought it was like Fabulous or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
KB, right? Fab.
Most people do. Yeah, they're like, oh, fabulous.
So what actually does it mean? What is Team Fab?
So Team Fab is, Fab is supposed to be an acronym. And so not Fab as in fabulous, but yeah, it's supposed to be Fairy Tales on a Budget. But
okay.
We skip the O. And the reason why is because I remember the second wedding I did, my friend made a joke and said, oh, you should call yourself Team Fob.
Oh no.
Because you're Filipino.
Oh no.
And it stands for Fairy Tales on a Budget.
Or fresh
and
off
I was
the boat.
Like, let's get ahead of that real quick.
Yeah.
And so that's why I kept saying, no, we're Team Fab.
Uh-huh.
So we skipped the O. So it's just
okay.
Fairy Tales on
Wait,
a Budget.
Wait, was it supposed to be Foab?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, that's ugly.
Yeah, you're like, no, thank you.
That's not cute.
You're like, I don't know if that'll work that well.
Yeah.
So you're building this team, you've got, you know, I'm not sure how many people you have on your team. How many do you have?
Whoa.
Currently.
Right now, I think we have eight.
Ah, that's a lot. That's beautiful.
But I've had 30 before.
30?
Yeah.
God.
But everyone goes
That's
on.
How you know she does a lot of weddings.
Yeah.
Or events.
Yeah.
Well, you know, having that many people, you know, even with myself, you know, I'm starting to scale my business. You know, it's, you're trying to find someone that can be like Gemma, but there's nobody else that can be like Gemma.
Yeah.
Right. So what are some characteristics that you're looking for, or like, what does it take to be a part of Team Fab or to join Fairy Tales on a Budget?
It's a great question. So I have a lot of people who email and apply and ask. Mm-hmm. And the hard thing is that I hate to say it like this, but a lot of people who have great experience in the industry, I'm almost more turned off. And it's not because they don't do a great job or mm-hmm. they're not amazing at what they do. It's just that for me, the biggest characteristic has to be kindness. Mm. And people are like, wait, I don't get that. Like right now I'm training someone to be my successor mm-hmm. When I retire. And so it's funny because she was just like, how do you find these people? What are you looking for? And I'm like, kindness. She's like, how do I find kindness? And I'm like, in the way that somebody sits at a table or you're at a coffee shop or the way that they're talking to you about someone they love.
Right.
You have to be able to read into the way they describe that because you can pick up on someone's heart. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will meet with couples and I'll hear little things like they'll be like, yeah, because, you know, he's an idiot, you know, so whatever. And they're joking. Mm-hmm. But they truly, somewhere at the root,
feel like that person's an idiot.
Uh-huh. And I can't have people like that around us. And in order for people to be able to kind of get to the heart of our mission and play it out of being a servant heart, because that's what we're about, because we're a faith-based business, if you don't have a kind heart, it's really hard for you to demonstrate love. And let me tell you, in the corporate world, you can be at a desk and you can smile and someone can teach you how to greet and someone can teach you how to be organized and do the right things and file things correctly or learn how to do math, but you can't fake kindness. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to have that genuineness come across. And so I talk to a lot of people and again, I know it's a weird thing, but I think within the first 10 minutes of talking to someone, I know yes or no, whether or not I'm gonna wanna work with them
yeah.
either as a client or have them work for me.
Nice.
Because I can see their heart and the way they describe things. Mm-hmm. So I know it's kind of weird, but.
No, yeah. I mean, that's exactly the way I would try to look for somebody too. It's like, the way I always tell my clients is like, anybody can take a nice photo, especially now in today's time. Like cameras, you give somebody a camera, like a good setup and kind of do the settings for them,
yeah.
maybe put it on auto. They'll probably get good photos. Just tell them to just, what we call in the photography world, spray and pray. Just like shoot everything. Like just shoot. I mean, photograph, sorry.
Yeah.
Photograph everything. You know, it's just like, there'll be one or two good photos in there. Like, don't worry about it. But
yeah.
the most important thing I feel like that separates myself from the other photographers is, you know, like I said, everybody takes great photos, but it's like, how we make you feel, right?
Exactly.
It's how we can relate with you, how we can make you feel comfortable, because it's like being a superstar or like a celebrity on your wedding day. Like, nobody's used to that unless you're like a model and you take pictures for a living.
Yeah.
Nobody's used to being in front of a huge camera, like being told to kiss their partner, like be intimate with
Seriously.
Them. Nobody knows how to do that. So, you know, being able to make them feel comfortable to be themselves and to feel comfortable doing those things on camera, it's like, I think that's the most important part. It's like personality and just how you make people feel, you
yeah.
know, those little things. It's not so much like, okay, like, obviously, yeah, take great photos. That's an important role.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, for me, it's all about bringing that energy to the wedding, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we have a couple that's shy. You know, maybe we don't come in so hot, like so energetic.
Yeah.
But we still kind of break them down in a way where they feel comfortable by, like, midday. They're like, oh, man, like, I'm having a great time with these
yeah.
guys. You know?
We want to be their friend.
Exactly.
So they don't feel like they have to be kind of weird too, animosity or too stiff.
Yeah,
or,
too closed off or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I kind of want to switch gears a little bit
yep.
Because I know that you have a lot of like experience in this field, right? So what are some like essential things that you feel like couples should have, or maybe it's nothing, maybe it's you that brings it, but what are like some essential tools that you like to have on site of like a wedding day? Because I know like I've seen you on the wedding day, you have like that crazy fanny pack with like anything under the sun, like everything under the sun is in that belt.
Yeah.
So like, what are just like a couple essentials that you use often at a wedding? I know you probably don't use all of those things. Like, maybe what are like one of the most common things you use and the least common thing, but you just have
yeah, it. Okay.
I'm sure people would want to hear that.
Yeah, so I would say the least common, let me start with that, is probably my bee sting removal, which people are like, what? I do weddings outside.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there's nothing that ruins your day more. If you're a guest, if you're a mother of the bride, if you're the bride, been getting stung by a bee.
Oh, yeah, so
And
fun.
So there, I have this thing that like removes it. So that way it doesn't actually hurt, you're not swelling,
mm-hmm.
And which is crazy because people are like, I didn't even know those existed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. I feel like that's least used. I've had to use that a couple of times.
Okay.
But most use safety pins.
Safety pins.
Always.
Bustling.
Yeah.
Or helping. Maybe
safety
the pin broke.
Because something always rips. And it's like, especially with guys. Guys always jump around, get crazy, which is, again, so cool. But it's always that top button that pops off. And they're like, Gemma, what do I do now? And I'm like, guys, it's before the wedding. Like, can we? And
I like
you know, we can fix it really quickly. Or, again, dresses tear, rips, seams on zippers. So.
I feel like a safety pin for like a wedding planner is like a guy's like duct tape. We put duct tape. We put duct tape on like anything and everything. It's like, oh, that thing's loose. Let's put duct tape on it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Exactly.
So safety pins. What's like another random thing that you have in that bag?
Oh my gosh.
I want to know, because I know you have so much stuff in there.
I have a lot, and we actually have acquired a lot more. Fun stuff. So me and Jolene, my other planner, we actually invested in both of our houses, now have them as of this month. We're really excited about it because we're weirdos. But it's these, like, they're supposed to be makeup drawers where you organize your makeup and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But, or like craft.
Sure.
But instead, they're organizational drawers for all of our stuff that we put in our bags. But we have four of them. So we have over 200 supplies of different things. And we like to tell everyone, we're a walking CVS. So when you go to CVS, you can find medicine, yes. You can buy shampoo, you can buy toothpaste. You can also find stockings. Random slippers. You can also find a hat.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to have these things available to you. So, yeah, I feel like we have, you know, anything as far as like blisters or your foot, or cold sore medicine, people many times, you know, chapstick. We have to-go toothbrush and toothpaste. Of course, we have basic things like gum and Band-Aids and ointment. But I have like, you know, we're Asian, so Pepsin.
Pepsin? I think you say Pepto-Bismol.
No, Pepsin. Definitely have Pepto-Bismol, but Pepsin AC.
So everyone, you don't get so red.
Yeah, everyone gets red.
Uh-huh.
Heartburn medicine, those are my biggest things. And there's nothing worse than someone coming up to me and being like, Gemma, like, I don't want to do my speech because I don't feel good. I'm like, what do you need? Let me get you what you need,
uh-huh.
You know? We have a lot of stuff for electrolytes because everyone overdrinks.
There you go.
Pushes themselves, or they're out in the sun and they don't hydrate as much.
Mm-hmm. Liquid IV.
Yeah, liquid IV.
Love it.
So got a lot of different forms of that. So yeah, a lot of crazy stuff in our bag, but yeah, fun stuff. And we're getting them customized. And so tomorrow's the first time we're going to feature our Team Fab custom.
Ooh.
Yeah, little fit.
You guys need new headshots, probably.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Yeah,
we definitely
could use
do.
Some
it's
new
been a while.
So the wedding's tomorrow?
Yeah, I have two weddings this week, two rehearsals today.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it's funny because last year I promised myself no more back-to-back weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also promised yourself 10 years ago that you weren't going to be doing this next year.
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I'm not so sure how good that's
going.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how good that's
going. It's not going great. I've got problems with boundaries. Yeah.
You know, I think we're kind of getting to that point here where we'll probably wrap it up. But, you know, is there any questions that you kind of wanted me to ask, maybe that you wanted to share?
No, I think, anything? I mean, you really got...
We really got into it.
Yeah, I think it was fun.
What's how about this? Why don't we wrap it up like this? What's one thing that, or maybe a couple things, you know, you got a lot to say. But what's something that you want people to know about you that maybe they don't know about you?
That's random. I don't know.
Think about it.
I don't know. I could go so many different ways here. There's a lot people don't know about me.
Well, what's the way you would want them to know about you if they just meet you or they see you? Because on a wedding day, right, that you may seem like, I know you're very nice, you're very kind, but sometimes it could be like a little intimidating talking to a wedding vendor. So maybe like that person that's a little scared to approach you, like what's one thing that you want them to know about you?
I like Harry Potter.
There you go.
Like really, like into Harry Potter. Like I read all the books, have them memorized. I've done trivia nights with Harry Potter.
Okay.
And I've beat everyone. Like, I'm kind of a weirdo.
Harry Potter
so,
fan, okay.
Harry Potter fan. Yeah.
I'm
obsessed with food. And so from years ago, I used to pretend I was like a food critic. And I would walk into places and say, I'm actually reviewing your food as if I worked for somebody.
Uh-huh.
And people would just be like, so nice and treat you amazing.
That's a good idea.
But I would actually like write up on Yelp and give them reviews. I stopped doing that because I started realizing certain things affect people's business. And I was like, I don't want to be responsible
you're
for
like
this family's
one,
downfall.
You're like that one business that I went to last week's closed. Gemma, did you hear about this?
It's so terrible. But no, yeah, I'm obsessed. So anywhere I travel, because I love to travel, that's another thing, is that I like to always try a donut in that city.
Mm.
It's so weird. I need to try a donut in every city that I'm in.
Ooh,
and like then I that. Always need to try, which... so random, like it's a donut, a milkshake, and a slice of pizza. Because I compare and then
hungry.
I kind of like keep track of where I like to go because I'm always around. And so I have my regular spots, like regular airports I go to that I'm like, I know if I go down that terminal, 9 around the corner in LAX, that's exactly my spot for this. Or if I land in this place, this is really good.
Uh-huh.
Or in LA, you know, so anyways.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I know you're also into music. Who's your favorite musician? I know that you got tickets
recently. I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan.
There
I don't
go.
Know why I didn't lead with that.
Yeah,
that actually makes more sense.
I know that you're
so
a huge fan.
I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan. Yeah, I think I don't like talking about it because it kind of comes across as scary. And I don't want to be creepy. And matter of fact, I'm actually really worried. Everyone's like, oh my God, what if you met her one day? Or what if you got picked? Because I don't know if you know this, but Taylor Swift, they pick random people throughout the entire stadium, like 30 random people by her team that go out and pick to go meet Taylor Swift.
Uh-huh.
She will never let you pay to meet and greet her. So even though I paid top dollar, let me just tell you, to be in the front row of her new concert in 2 weeks. Everyone's like, would you want to meet her? And I said, no, I'm so afraid because I'm probably going to be put on some security watch list because I can't, I'm not going to act normal. I'm going to be the weirdo that just like can't interact like, oh, you're a regular human being like me. No, I'll act so weird and she'll be like, get the psycho away from me. I just love Taylor Swift.
What is it that you like about her? I mean, obviously you like her music, but is it like the story she's telling maybe?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I used to want to be a writer and I'm currently... I don't know.
Are you writing a book?
I'm writing a book. Whatever.
Oh,
it's not gonna,
we just got a
it's like a pretend,
newsflash.
This is like a pretend thing. This is not going to really pan out, I feel like. But I'm writing a book. I don't actually think I'll ever get to it and publish it. But I've been writing it, and it's kind of funny. But I think because Taylor Swift is a writer, and I used to be into poetry. I used to do songwriting. And then I wanted to be a novelist. And so I think she is just the way... she used English literature. I mean, a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are like, oh my gosh, you're obsessed with her because of like, you know, how she looks or like her storylines. But I'm just like, no, like truly, it like metaphoric, it can transform you in the ways that she uses her words. And I'm obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm obsessed. And I feel like people don't speak as poetically as that. And I just love that about her. So
Taylor
I think
Swift.
It's just, yeah, Taylor Swift is amazing.
I think last time we talked, you told me you like blocked out some dates because you were going to the concert.
Yeah, I had a couple who were like, oh, it's so funny because what if we accidentally booked our wedding because they were still booking their date on the same day you were going to Taylor Swift? Like that would have sucked. You would have missed out.
You're like, oh, really?
And I was like, I wouldn't have missed out.
Like, yeah, you would have missed out on my service.
Like, you would have missed out on me. I was like, no, there is no way. Yeah, I have to see her. And I'm trying to get tickets to two other shows right now, but
goodness.
Obsessed with her. But I grew up with her. She's the same age as me.
Yeah.
So when she became famous and was coming out with country music, I don't know if you know this, but I'm from Alabama. And so,
are you?
Yeah.
Roll Tide?
My whole family, Roll Tide.
Let's go.
My whole family's white. I was adopted. And so, yeah. So that Taylor Swift was country. And so literally that's all I would listen to. And then now she's kind of transitioned. So,
damn.
But, yeah.
Taylor Swift. What do they call her like fan base?
Swifties?
Swifties.
Yeah.
So you're
Swift
big
Nation?
Swift Nation.
Yeah. Got everything
cool.
down.
Well, I think that's a great way to wrap it. Gemma, if you don't mind, why don't you share with the camera, share on the mic.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? Want to share, like, you could do a little social, you know, little tags here.
Thanks. Okay, there's only one way to find me, Fairy Tales on a Budget, on Instagram. I don't believe in advertising. I know that's kind of crazy. Everyone pays for advertising. I'm not on Yelp. I'm not on Google. The only way you can find me is on Instagram. So hit me up there.
Got it. Well, you guys heard it here first. Thank you all for listening. Gemma, thank you so much for doing this with me. I know you got a rehearsal to get to, so
yes.
I appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
I hope you kill it this year.
Hope so, too. Okay.
Let's go.
You're so sweet.